Well, it is Red Shield Appeal, and today is Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost. I want to tell you about the way I grew up. Now, for some of you will think this is nothing compared to how I grew up, but in the 930, these stories were amazing, so just go with them for a minute. I grew up with the maps, you know, the Gregories, we used to call them the Melway down in Melbourne, you know, this book. Now, I'm a bit scared to ask this, but does anyone still use this? Does anyone still... Oh, here we go. A few. Some of you still have this in your car? God bless you, that's all I say. They were a lot of work. I was saying earlier on today that this book brought my mother and the father into very different sorts of relationships in the car. Sometimes there'd be quite a bit of abuse happening across me. I sat in the front of the bench seat of the Kingswood. So we had six in our family, so I was the youngest. So I used to sit as like a four-year-old, five-year-old in the centre seat of the bench seat in the white Kingswood station wagon. And I remember Mum and Dad often arguing about the maps. And Glenys would be there trying to find, you know, page 56, and then it jumps to, you know how it goes off the end of the map and you have to jump to 66, and then and then they're trying to find out which way they were going, should turn the map around. Well, I thought, you know, when I got married, we wouldn't have those problems. But of course, when I got married, Kylie used to sit. So we'd upgraded to the 81 Commodore VC. I bought it off my dad, actually. No air conditioning, no GPS, of course. But we had the map, and Kylie used to sit, you know, in the passenger seat. And just so you know your core officer, get to know your core officer well, reading maps isn't her number one thing. So it's just sort of not, she's got many, many gifts. She's an amazing cook. She looks after the house beautifully. So well organised in so many areas. But when it comes to map reading, you know, God hasn't blessed her a lot in that area. And she would go reading the map, but then she'd do that thing. Does anyone have to turn the map around? And you go around another corner and I'd turn the map around again and I'd turn the map. And anyway, it would take us many, many, many hours to find some locations we were looking for. But of course, the GPS came along, didn't it? So in the mid-2000s for us, we came across the GPS. And I'll tell you this story just to say that when I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of the GPS, because the GPS is amazing for me. And I, as you know, with my job, I travel all over the state, and I just put the address in the GPS and it just takes me. And it takes me a different way every time. Whether I'm going to Auburn or Redfern or whatever office I'm going to, it takes me on a different road. And I didn't realise there's so many different ways to get to every location. I was saying earlier on, I think I've been 10 different ways from my house to Auburn. And the GPS is amazing. It takes me a different way. And sometimes I don't believe the GPS and I go, I'm just going to go this way, I always go this way. And then, you know, there's a truck broken down on the M whatever and something else has happened and I end up in some side street. And then I have to go back and I have to trust my GPS. My GPS does know what is best for me. So, Alan, I recommend these things. They're called GPSs. I recommend that you upgrade at some stage. So, today it's Pentecost and we're talking about the birth of the church, Holy Spirit. Now, just before church this morning, I was given this CD. I don't know if any of you can see it here. It's called Spirit. Now, for those that have been in the Salvos a while, you'll know this musical. Now, again, back to the 80s, I grew up with all these musicals. I had fond memories of these musicals. And Spirit, I think, is a fabulous way of teaching people about the Holy Spirit. The songs in there, the Gowans and Larsons of songs, are absolutely brilliant. They're so clever. The theology in them, we're going to sing some of them again later on today. The theology is just fabulous. But I thought this is a, when I just read the introduction here, this is a fabulous description of Pentecost. The Christian church began with a bang, and a pretty loud bang at that. 100 or so followers of the crucified Jesus were huddled together for mutual reassurance in an upstairs room when something happened to them. It must have been something explosive. Only a high concentration of heat and light could have transformed that apprehensive huddle into the powerful people who turned the world upside down. This mighty, world-shaking, character-changing force we call the Spirit. It is God in action. Who can predict what he will do next? Like a holy hurricane, he scatters our preconceived ideas and blows away our prejudices. Like a fire, he scorches a conscience and inflames the compassions. If we deliberately place ourselves in his path, he will take us where he wants us to go and make us the people he wants us to be. That's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit in you and me, goes one of the songs. And you just read through all these fabulous songs here. We played one of them before the meeting. Burning, burning. Ask, seek and knock. The fruit of the Spirit for the mighty moving of the Spirit. If the Spirit says go, to be like Jesus, all these songs. And of course, love cannot fail. Well, the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential if we're going to be believers today, isn't it? It's our GPS that helps us navigate our way through life. And Jesus promises, in John 14, Jesus promises this gift of the Holy Spirit. He says to us here, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you. This helper is the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. Isn't it great to be reminded of things? It says there that the Holy Spirit will teach you, remind you. When we sometimes forget the promises or the commitments we've made to God our Father, and the Holy Spirit will remind us, the Holy Spirit will teach us. Those times we're reminded of scriptures or what we should do in a particular situation, that's the Holy Spirit. We've just come off this series about listening to God. Sarah and Kylie have been teaching us what God says about hearing God, listening to God. And for me, it's the Holy Spirit, of course, that teaches us how to do that. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit directs us. Going back to the GPS, which for me is just a great way of understanding the Holy Spirit. On Friday, I think I was telling you, I was up at Newcastle at this event. We finished about 2:30. And I had a very important task to do. I had to take the Lieutenant Colonel. It's a big deal for those that don't know their ranks. The Lieutenant Colonel, who's my boss, Neil Venables, I had to take him to the airport from Newcastle. Now I thought, put in the domestic airport, Terminal 2, into my GPS. I thought, it should only take a couple of hours. Well, we got in the car at 2:30. I think it said about 2 hours, 15, 2 hours, 20. And gradually it went up to about 3 hours, 30. We got to the airport eventually, but it did many recalculating route. Have you seen that before? It says recalculating route. Okay. So I was on one freeway and it goes, then it sort of says to do this funny U-turn thing off one M4 or M2 or M something and onto another one. And next thing you know, we're going over the Harbour Bridge, of course. It's taken us that way over the airport and it took a very, very long time. Luckily, his flight wasn't till 7:05. I got in there about 5:30, 5:45, got home later that night, all with my GPS navigating, recalculating route, getting me there. The sad part of that story is when I go back in the car and I'm going back to home, I get a text from Neil, the Lieutenant Colonel, Neil, and he says to me, Dave, there's been some problems with Virgin. The computers are all crashed. So he was sitting on, I don't know if you heard about this in the news. So he was sitting there till midnight and on Saturday morning, I got a text saying, got home at 1:50 a.m. Said, thanks, Neil, for coming to Newcastle. We really appreciate it. your 5-minute talk you gave. But the great thing for me about this GPS and the great thing about the Holy Spirit is that it recalculates our route, doesn't it? When we go on the wrong path, on the wrong journey, maybe our motives or our thoughts are wrong, or we say the wrong thing or treat someone perhaps the way Jesus wouldn't want us to treat us, the Holy Spirit tells us, it teaches us, and it says, hey, Dave, you need to focus on this. You don't need to say those things. You don't need to treat those people that way. I can actually change the way you live. I can direct you. I can help you. I can recalculate the route so you can be a better person. And don't we all need that, don't we? We all need the Holy Spirit to help us be better people. So I really believe the Holy Spirit is there to help us, be an advocate for us. The second thing I know the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit empowers us. That's Spirit CD that says it was an explosion, the church began with an explosion of the Holy Spirit. Luke says, Acts 1:8, but when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. It doesn't say you'll maybe receive power, it says you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. And then it says, what's that power for? It's to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, every part of the world. To the ends of the earth is our series we're going to now for the next 5 weeks. This Holy Spirit is to go to the ends of the earth. It's not just to sit in us and in this lovely building, lovely facilities we have here at the Salvation Army, but it is to be shared with others. One of my favourite characters in the Bible is a gentleman named Peter. Do we have any Peters here this morning? Oh, we do too. Amazing. I'll just see if he's listening. Peter is an amazing character in the Bible. It says Peter is the rock. That we'll build our church upon the rock. We build our band upon... No, I won't go there. But Peter the rock, the church starts on this incredible disciple of Jesus. Now, if you look at the stories of Peter, of course, we'll know the story of him walking on the water. And there's two ways this story is framed. Some criticise Peter because he fell in the water and took his eyes off Jesus. I tend to like the optimist view on the story of Peter, where he's the guy that had the energy, the risk-taking ability to get out of the boat and actually try and do something different. And he had the faith to step out of that boat and walk on the water. I don't think many of us would have done that. So I like Peter because he's a risk taker. But Peter fails again. The night before the crucifixion, of course, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And you'll see that, of course, in Scripture. 3 times he could have said, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is my mate. He's my mentor. He's a guy I love. But he says, no, got no idea who that fella is. I'm not associating with him. 3 times he lets down Jesus and denies him. Well, of course, Pentecost is 50 days later. Pent meaning 5, of course. So Pentecost is 50 days after Easter Sunday, as we celebrate now, or 7 weeks after. 50 days later, Peter is transformed, isn't he? Because he's just denied Jesus 3 times, 50 days, and then he preaches up a storm, as we've heard about this morning, in Acts chapter 2. And at the end of his sermon, it's a pretty good sermon because 3,000 people come to faith, don't they? I don't think, no matter how well I preach this morning, Sarah, I don't think I'm going to get 3,000 people. But somehow 3,000 people came to faith at the end of Peter speaking and sharing stories about Jesus. Now, of course, this wasn't Peter, was it? It's what it says in Acts 1:8. It's the power of the Holy Spirit empowers Peter and speaks through Peter, and Peter does remarkable things. Now, a lot of you have been to church to know that the Holy Spirit does this with people. Some people have had incredible stories of past and
all sorts of drug and alcohol abuse and all sorts of things. And the Holy Spirit transforms people radically. And they do things that you never dreamed possible. They become people you never thought they could be. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's a power. It's a force. It does something amazing to people. The third thing I'd like to share with you about the Holy Spirit this morning is this idea that the Holy Spirit is not just for us, but it is to compel us, move us, send us into the community. I've used the word to deploy us. I do like a lot of the military metaphors. I like the fact that we're a Salvation Army. I'm a bit of a student of the Salvation Army history. And when you read stories about 10,000 corps starting over 8 years in the early Salvation Army, that was an incredible move of the Holy Spirit back in the 1800s in London. And salvos were just getting sent with a uniform and a flag, and they would go out left, right and centre and just start churches. And the Holy Spirit was just exploding the Salvation Army across London, now of course into 132 countries. This story that we read here in Acts 2, 42 to 47 particularly, is a story of the early church. They gather, they share food together, they share their finances together. And it says the numbers were added to them daily, people who had been saved. The next 16 chapters of Acts will tell you stories of people going out from that holy huddle. They get out and they transform the world they live in. They share stories. They get in the community. And none of the miracles in Acts happen in church, where people walk into church and get healed or saved or things like that. It's all in the community. It's all outside the doors of the church. And I won't have to tell you guys here, a lot of you will know these stories, but the Salvation Army began with William and Catherine Booth, strong Methodists, but they got a bit annoyed, a holy discontentment with the traditional church, where people just gathered in nice buildings. And they were all about getting out in the community. We don't want to be part of a church. We want to be part of a missional movement. We're going to put uniforms on and play loud instruments or do whatever we can to get out into the streets and let the Holy Spirit empower us to change the communities that we're in. And that's, of course, how the Salvation Army exploded. And I know many of you have been involved over the years with things like open airs and flag-carrying things. Some of them worked, some of them didn't, let's be honest. But we all had a go at trying to get out of the community and be there for others. That was what we believe the Holy Spirit deployed us. We all know our flag here. We see our flag, the Salvation Army Parramatta Corps. And here on our flag we have the blue part. Many of us learnt this if we did classes over the years about the holiness of God, is the blue. The red is the blood of Jesus Christ. And what's the yellow star in the middle? The Holy Spirit. Do you know what? William and Catherine Booth could have put anything in the middle of that flag. They could have put a cornet there or a trombone or a cap or whatever. But what did they choose as a centerpiece for the flag? They chose the Holy Spirit. The central focus of what we're about. And that flag, of course, was never meant to just sit in churches. The flag was all about, let's get out there, let's deploy the troops, let's get in the community, let's save the world. Go for souls and go for the worst was some of the language our founders used. So we have our doctrine 7, which reads, we believe that repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and regeneration by the Holy Spirit are necessary to salvation. You can't skip one of those three things. They're all important. Repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. My prayer today is that as a Salvation Army, we have an amazing opportunity. We still have so much favour. I spend, the first time in my 20 years of officership, I spend more times with non-salvos than I do with salvos, which might sound weird. And I can tell you, the community, the corporates, the government advisors, the politicians, they all love the Salvation Army. They want us out there. They want us doing more, being there to help more people. That's not a problem. I think the problem is actually us, to be honest. We just don't do it anymore. We just sort of got a bit lazy or lost a bit of our mojo or something. I don't know what's going on, but I really believe that if the Salvation Army is going to survive another 150 years, it's not about sitting in churches. It's about being in the community and being there for others. For those that are collecting next weekend and this week, it's shopping centres. I'm at train station tomorrow at 7 a.m. Thanks, Corps Officer, for that one. If anyone wants to come and stand next to me and shake a few hands, you're most welcome. But you'll have opportunities just to be people of hope. I say hope givers. We are in the Salvation Army. Hope where it's needed most is one of the sayings we say these days. Just don't see it as collecting. See it as an opportunity to offer hope to just all sorts of strange people, peculiar people. Some will have money, some won't have money. Some will may not even speak the same language as you, but just offer them hope. Just smile, engage, have a conversation, and knowing that the Holy Spirit's in you. And you'll be surprised what the opportunities God will give you next weekend and this week. And I just pray that this will be a really powerful time in our movement and going forward, that Parramatta will continue to change the community we're in. You'll hear that this Friday we're down at Bankwest Stadium, the band, the Timbrels, and a few collectors, Shieldy, will all be down there. And again, you'll be surprised just by that little hour of effort in our local streets, what that will do, the people that will connect with us. There is a lot of people hurting this community, a lot of people want help, want something to sort of attach themselves to, or a brand to align to, or a God to change their lives. And we won't know that until we get ourselves out there, get out of that boat, take a risk, and be there for others. I think I've spoken enough. I think Kylie's given me the word to finish. So I'm gonna say a prayer, and then we're gonna sing a beautiful song together. Lord, we want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for the fact this Holy Spirit regenerates our souls, our lives, who we are as people. And Lord, that this Holy Spirit's here not just to make us feel good or make us better people, but also for us to be people of power, that as we go out into our centres, our homes, our villages, wherever we live, to the streets that we work in, the sporting clubs we're associated with, whatever it is, wherever you go, Lord, I just pray that you will help us, that you'll be with us, you'll empower us to be the best version of ourselves we can be. So, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to empower us and guide us and redirect our paths so we can be the Parramatta Salvation Army you want us to be. That flavour of the Salvation Army in our community that brings hope to all. And Lord, I just pray that you'll teach us how to get there. And Lord, help us to listen. Help us to be aware of your presence. And help us to always love and serve you every step of the way, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.